then you'll let me stand like Paul. Let me pray like Jesus. Let me give my life for you. When the rest have turned and gone, and I'm standing all alone, Lord, let these words be what I say to you. I choose to fight. I choose the right. I choose to take a stand like those gone on before. No doubt I'll win. Christ will defend. There's no turning back until I reach that shore. I choose the Lord. Like a farmer in the field and a sower sowing seed, my light must shine to those still lost in sin. So I'll press toward the prize with a gleam in my eyes, and this my cry until I reach the end. I reach the end. I choose to fight. I choose the right. I choose to take a stand like those gone on before. No doubt I'll win. Christ will defend. There's no turning back until I reach that shore. I choose the Lord.
I am not ashamed of the Christ who died for me. I'll wave his blood-stained banner until he calls for me.
He calls for me. I choose to fight. I choose the right. I choose to take a stand like those gone on before. No doubt I'll win. Christ will defend. There's no turning back until I reach that shore. I choose the Lord. No doubt I'll win. Christ will defend. There's no turning back until I reach that shore. I choose the Lord. I choose the
ladies. Good choice. Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes 10 tonight, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 tonight. Good again to see everyone out. Appreciate your prayers. I was having some eye issues this morning. I think that's all cleared up and are getting there. Put a bunch of antibiotics in it. I think it's good to go. Everybody on this side is not blurry tonight, or they're as clear or focused as they ever are. I don't have my glasses on, but So I got an old age checkup this week. I don't get my eyes checked. This reminds me how much older I'm getting every time I go in because they keep moving the chart back. I'm like, is that thing in the same place it was last time? Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. Happens to the best of us. Ecclesiastes 10. If you would. Going to read one verse and we'll get moving here. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, sharpen it, then must he put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Let's go ahead and go, Lord, in prayer. We're going to work on this thought tonight, maintaining our edge. Maintaining our edge. So let's go ahead and pray and ask Brother Man Ortiz, once you leave, some prayer if you would. Amen. You can be seated. In chapter 10, Ecclesiastes 10, Solomon is working on the thought of wisdom. We're going to take that, though, and make some application of his analogy in verse 10. If you notice in verse 10, his analogy that he uses in this text isn't too difficult to understand. There's nothing really hard here to understand when it comes to the illustration or the analogy he uses. And Solomon tells us that if you're going to fell a tree, if you're going to cut down a tree, the sharper your axe, the easier your task will be. That's not too difficult. If you've ever cut wood, you know, the sharper your tools are, the easier the job is. Now, based on the text, now I know for you theologians, we got chainsaws today. I got that. But based on the text in verse 10, there's two ways to cut down a tree, based on what Solomon says. You can do it with a dull axe, which will indeed cut down a tree eventually, or you can do it with a sharp axe, one whose edge has been kept and maintained. Now, while the dull axe and a sharp axe will both cut down a tree, there's only one effective way to do it. Right. The only effective way to cut down a tree, of course, is with a sharp axe, one whose edge has been maintained. Now, the moral of the text, or the principle, I guess you could say, of the text, is that you can cut down a tree with both. But you're either going to devote time to maintaining the edge of your axe, or you're going to devote even more time and greater energy to hacking away at a tree with a dull axe. And Solomon's conclusion is in verse 10, and that's also pretty easy to understand, and that is that wisdom would dictate that it's good to keep an eye on the edge of your axe, and it's good and wise to take time when it's needed to sharpen it, so that you might be more effective in chopping down trees. Come on, say amen. So the analogy and the conclusion, the principle, are pretty simple. Now, none of us here tonight are lumberjacks, that I'm aware of anyway. We don't have any lumberjacks among our number. And so there must be some spiritual application here that we can see and make. And of course, we know these things are recorded for our understanding. And so I think in verse 10 that God's primary point here is not to better instruct us on the way to chop down a tree. I think there's some spiritual application that he wants to get across to us. Now, in making that spiritual application, the first thing I want you to notice with me is this, and that is that there is a reason why we call what we do the Lord's work. And the reason why we call it the Lord's work is because it is indeed work. Now, I think we would all agree, or I would hope we'd agree tonight, that what we do for the Lord is well worth any work that we have to do. The outcome is worth it, the motive is worth it, the person we're doing it for, which should be the Lord, is worth it. And so while we would all agree, I think, if you're serious about serving God, now if you're not serious about serving, it may not seem like work to you, but if you're serious about serving Him and doing all that we do can indeed be work. But we also would agree that the one we're doing it for certainly makes it worth it. But at the end of the day, just to be honest with each other, it's work to serve the Lord in this present evil world, and it's made even more difficult at times because we're still influenced by a sinful nature. And so whether we're serving God in the church, or whether we're teaching a class week after week after week, or whether it's maintaining a good attitude, playing well with others, amen, within the church, or just being completely faithful, it's work. Starting a church is work. Pastoring a church is work. Being a contributing church member is work. If we're serious about it, it's work. But it's also work to serve the Lord in other areas. It takes work to be a godly teenager. It takes work, takes effort. Oh, come on, say amen. To be a godly teenager. It doesn't happen by itself. It takes work and effort. It takes work, it takes effort to live a single life that pleases God. It takes work to maintain a godly marriage and to raise godly kids. It takes work and effort to continually maintain on the job a good testimony before your coworkers, before your boss. It takes work to do that. It takes work to keep the influences of the world out of our home. Sometimes it feels like it's slopping over the top of the dam, but it takes great work to do that, to keep the influence of the world out of our home, out of our lives, out of our minds, away from our families, all of that and whatever aspect we're talking about, it's all serving the Lord. Amen. No matter what aspect you're talking about, whatever that is, it is absolutely work. Now, since it's work to serve the Lord, there's two things that we've got to be aware of that make this work. No, that doesn't make it work to do, that makes it work. Right? There's two things that we need to be aware of concerning the Lord's work. There's two aspects of accomplishing anything that we do in the Lord's work, whether that be on a personal level or on a church level. You all with me so far? First of all, number one, anything we do for God, whether it be from the actual ministry or whether it be living for God, there is always an element of brute force involved. Or in other words, there's always an element of absolute human effort. In verse 10, we don't just have an axe. We've got a man swinging that thing. We've got a man exerting brute force or human effort in order to accomplish what he is accomplishing. And so there's always some element of brute force involved. Hang on for a minute, hang on to your text in Ecclesiastes, and look over in Nehemiah chapter 2. If you think about work, you can certainly think about the book of Nehemiah. It's all about the Lord's work. Building the wall around the city of Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, it says this in verse 18, just to give us an example. It says Nehemiah 2, verse 18. You're not too far away from Ecclesiastes. Go back toward the front. Nehemiah chapter 2, look what it says in verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he has spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. In other words, Nehemiah said that they dug in and were willing to work. He makes it even more clear in chapter 4, in verse 6, where he says, and so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. They understood that this was the service of God, this was the service of the Lord, and it required work. That's why Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 23, when he says, whatsoever ye find to do, do it. You do it heartily, as unto the Lord. Couldn't we not say this? If you're going to do it for the Lord, work hard, because he is worth it. Work hard at it. He borrowed that thought from Ecclesiastes 9, if you look across the page maybe in our text or on the next page, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, Solomon wrote, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Whatever you're going to do, put all the human effort that's required behind it to get it done. That's true, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, of anything in life. If you're a young person tonight and you're going to succeed in the world of work, when you get old enough to have a job, you've got to work with all your might. You've got to give your employer your best. You've got to labor and work and put forth effort if you're ever going to succeed or accomplish anything. But it's also true when it comes to serving the Lord. There's always an element of human effort and always an element of brute force, if you will, when it comes to serving him. Now, an axe, going back to Ecclesiastes 10 and Solomon's analogy, you do understand that an axe all by itself will not chop down a tree. Right. If that was the case, I'd buy a dozen of them, wouldn't you? Just take it out there, scatter them around the woods, go collect wood. That'd be great if it worked that way, but it doesn't work that way. An axe will not chop down a tree by itself. Solomon in Ecclesiastes 10, if you notice in verse 10, talks about the fact that someone must put two more strength into the work. He must put strength, put human effort, put brute force into the work involving the axe. As a matter of fact, if you took the Hebrew words that's used here, where it says must put to more strength, the word is actually connected to the Hebrew word having to do with hero, and it involves the idea of heroic effort. We might just say brute force. And so he says there has to be an element of brute force, has to be an element of human effort if you're going to chop down trees. So if you're going to chop down a tree, you could buy the best axe money could buy, Brother Daniel, but unless someone's willing to put their back into it, unless someone's willing to get behind it, unless someone's willing to swing it, unless someone's just willing to buckle down and put some brute force behind it, you're not going to chop down any trees, and nothing's going to happen, and nothing's going to get done. Now, we're smart enough tonight to know this, that the same thing is true when it comes to the Lord's work. Right. Somebody has got to put their back to it. There's got to be some human effort. Sometimes there's got to be some brute force. Somebody has got to put their strength into the work. You know, it doesn't matter how well we all get along. It doesn't matter how friendly everyone is or how beautiful your facilities are. Unless somebody is willing to put their backs into the work, nothing gets done. Now, it seems obvious to most of us here on a Sunday night. Be surprised how many church people don't understand that. Somebody has got to do it. Somebody's got to pick up the axe and swing away. Somebody's got to make the chips fly. Amen. Somebody's got to put their back into the work. And that's true in whatever endeavor of life we're talking about. You know, the work can't survive on people who expect things to get done. The work can't survive only on people who never wonder how things get done. They just think it should be done when they arrive. The work can't survive on that. Somebody must be willing to put their back into the work and make the chips fly. Somebody's got to get the ice off the parking lot. Say amen. Somebody's got to clean the building. Somebody's got to clean the bathrooms. You want them clean, don't you? Listen, you don't want to come to church and go to a bathroom that looks like a convenience store. You know, we want that stuff done. Somebody's got to do it. Everybody, we're talking about ministry tonight, some of us were. And I've often said, a lot of people come to you and say, hey, is there something we can do? We want to do something. But the problem is we want to choose the opportunity. We don't want to let the opportunity to serve choose us. Not everybody can teach a class. Somebody's got to swing the axe of bathroom cleaning. Amen. Somebody's got to swing all the axes that have got to be swung around a church. And so it takes some work. You've got to have people who are willing to volunteer and then show up. You've got to have people who are willing to be faithful to their responsibilities, to follow through on the things they agree to do. Listen, if you want to be in the choir and you agree to be in the choir, then be at practice. If you agree to be in the play or whatever it is we've done here of late, then show up. That's what you're supposed to do. You agreed to do it. Somebody has got to roll up their sleeves and get to work. You know, we've got to have people who are willing to do it and to do it better than they do it if it was their own. If we're going to do anything for the Lord, to work hard, give up their time, sacrifice, who study, who prepare for their class, who give the best that they have, because nothing gets done in the Lord's work or in his house without an element of human effort. You got that? Amen. Somebody has got to swing the axe. Somebody's got to do it. And why not you? Right. All right? Why not? Why burn the wood that everybody else has chopped? Hey, I like this analogy. This thing will preach, man. Why depend on being able to get the wood that somebody else has labored to chop? Why not get involved and chop some wood of your own and serve the Lord and swing the axe a little bit yourself? And so there's an element of human effort involved. But notice this, that there's also a second element, because there's also an axe involved. There's not just human element involved. There's also an axe involved. Remember the verses we read about work in the book of Nehemiah? Look back over there quickly. I should have told you to hang on to it. Nehemiah chapter 6. In Nehemiah 2 and Nehemiah 4, he spoke about work. He said, I told them, and the people rose up to work. And in chapter 6, he said, they had a mind to work. They put their hands to the work. Nehemiah chapter 6, though, in verse 9, when things got tough, notice what it says in verse 9 of Nehemiah 6. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened in the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, what's he say next? Strengthen my hands. So Nehemiah tells us that human effort alone is not enough. While you've got to have brute force, you've got to have human effort, there is also a spiritual aspect to it. You got a man and you got an axe. You got a servant of God, and you've got the spiritual aspect of service as well. You know, human effort is necessary to chopping down a tree, but so is the axe. You know, I can get my best karate move on and chop away on a big old oak tree all day long, and it ain't going anywhere. All right, not without an axe. All right, I can't chop it down merely with human effort. Man, I got to have an axe. I have to have something in my hand. The same thing's true of the Lord's work. Human effort is necessary in the Lord's work, and we're never going to accomplish anything without it, but nor are we going to accomplish anything without the spiritual element of the work. And if we neglect the spiritual element of the work, it doesn't matter how much human effort we pour into it, we're never going to be effective or accomplish much, or at least accomplish what we should be accomplishing, unless we maintain our spiritual edge as well as human effort. You can flail away all day long with a dull axe. And you may chop down a tree eventually, but you're exerting a lot of effort and a lot of fatigue for very little return. The same thing's true on the spiritual side. We've got to have human effort, but God has also put some tools into our hands. And if we don't maintain those, if we don't keep our edge sharp, then we're never going to be effective. God has given us an axe. You say, well, what is that axe? He's given us what we need to do his work. He's given us the tools that we need to fulfill and complete it in church and in our lives. And it's not to be done in our strength alone, but with human effort combined with the tools that God's given us to fulfill his work. And you already know what the tools he's given us are. They're not surprising. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. It is His presence in our life. It is His leadership. It is the Word of God, His illumination of the Word of God. It's understanding that He gives us. It's perception. It's opportunities that God provides for us. Spiritual gifts, daily refreshing that we find when we spend time in His Word. Those are all part of the tools that God's given us to do and to fulfill His work. It's when we maintain the fine line between human effort and maintaining the tools that God has given us, that's when we accomplish the most. It's that sweet spot, we might say, where we've got human effort and the tools that God has given us in perfect balance with one another. Because you can't do anything with the spiritual tools without human effort, but we're never going to do anything with human effort alone. And so we've got to struggle to maintain the balance between the two. Is this making sense? Amen. And when we maintain the balance between the two, that, of course, is when we accomplish the most. Listen, it's when we accomplish the most without wearing ourselves out. Because you can chop down a tree with a dull axe, but you will wear yourself out. And the same thing's true of spiritual things. You can accomplish all kinds of things for the Lord in the power of your own flesh. It's amazing how much you and I can do for Jesus out of nothing but brute force and human effort. Right. We can get in there and go and do and accomplish things, but it will wear you down to nothing because you're chopping wood with a dull axe. And so we've got to maintain that proper balance. This making sense to us so far? Have to maintain that proper balance. Now, based on Solomon's illustration, in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10, since human effort's not enough without the spiritual aspect of things, that means this, that we have to keep the edge of our axe sharp. We've got to stay sharp spiritually if we're going to be effective in serving Him. It's not a matter of how much human effort we can exert, but we have to stay sharp. We have to be and stay sharp spiritually. A man with a dull axe, like I said a moment ago, can still cut down a tree, and from time to time he's able to do that, just not very effectively. But not only is it not effective, it also requires far more human effort. Now think about this. If he doesn't take the time to pay attention to his tools and to maintain his tools, he gets less done, though he's expelling more energy. And the more energy he expels, get this, the more fatigued he becomes. This is deep, isn't it? The more tired he gets, the worse his English becomes. Now, when it comes to anything we do for God, whether it's raising a family, living godly, teaching a class, cleaning the building, we can do all of that in the power of brute force, every bit of it in human effort. First of all, though, we can't do it effectively. With me? We can't do it effectively. There's very little other than maybe winning people. Well, I guess we can get professions in the flesh, I guess, but other maybe winning people to the Lord, there's not much that we can't do in the power of our own flesh. You can preach in the power of your own flesh. You can teach a Sunday school in the power of your own flesh. Amen? You can be a dad in the power of your own flesh. You can do devotions in the power of your own flesh. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that we can do for the Lord in the power of our own flesh, but we can't do it very effectively. Secondly, we have to expend far more energy while accomplishing, as I said a moment ago, less and less. Now listen to me. This is when we start getting tired in the work. This is when we start getting tired of the work. How many people do you think, men, how many men do you think have set out to chop down a tree with a dull axe, got about a third of the way through that thing and said, forget it? Why? Because it will wear you out trying to chop down a tree with a dull axe. And it will wear you out trying to serve the Lord in the power of nothing but human effort. Right. And in the nothing but in the power of brute force. The reason why it doesn't work is because when we don't maintain our tools, our spiritual tools as we should, we can't do it effectively, we spend far more energy, and next thing you know, we begin to get tired in the work. This is when discouragement sets in. Right. Because we're chopping away with all this human effort, and there's no chips flying. There's nothing happening. There's nothing taking place. Now, we know there are ups and downs in anything that we do. We know that everything we lay our hands to isn't going to bring 100-fold. I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, there are times when the reason why we're not seeing results and the reason why we're so tired and so tired in the work and so fed up and so frustrated and so discouraged is because we're flailing away in human effort and not maintaining our edge. We're trying to do everything we can think of and nothing is working. That's why Jesus said in John 15:5, remember what he said, without me, you can do how much? Nothing. You can't. Did he literally mean that we can't accomplish anything? That's not what he was saying. He says we can't effectively accomplish anything. We can't accomplish what we set out to do. Now, we might accomplish some stuff, but it's going to be in the power of our own flesh. Jesus says there has to be a spiritual aspect to human effort in order to make it work. Now, complicating all of this is another truth. In Deuteronomy 19, look over there if you will, Deuteronomy 19. If you're chopping down trees and you don't keep the edge of your axe sharp, you're expending more energy, you're not being very effective. But not only that, whenever you chop down a tree with an unmaintained axe, you also increase the danger of tearing something up. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, and verse 5, there's several verses in our Old Testament that are similar to this. Verse 5, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetched a stroke with an axe to cut down the tree, and the head flew off. That's my paraphrase of it. The head flew off and killed his neighbor. That's not good. And the reason it flew off is because it wasn't maintained. And whenever you're chopping wood with a dull axe, the harder you have to chop and the harder you have to swing, and the harder you have to chop and the harder you have to swing, and the more energy you have to exert, the more opportunity there is to tear something up. And do you not understand that the same thing's true spiritually? It's when we start trying to do stuff in the power of our own flesh, and it's when we are serving God in the power of human effort, and we have failed to maintain the spiritual aspect of our service and the spiritual aspect of our life, that's when we start tearing stuff up. That's when we start making bad decisions and bad choices and bad mistakes, because we get discouraged and fatigued and tired and frustrated, and the next thing you know, we start making decisions and doing things that just are not right because we're frustrated because we're trying to seek a goal which we cannot accomplish. It's when we start trying to make up the difference between human effort and the spiritual tools that God has given us with something else. You see this in churches. We're in that church age that's like that. This is when churches do things that result, for example, it's when churches start changing their music. It's when churches start lowering standards. It's when drama replaces preaching. It's when we're more concerned about being cool than godly. It's when we water down the plan of salvation so we can see more people saved. It's when we start watering down the saved life. It's when we start watering down church membership and what it means and how important church is and what church is and the character of worship. It's when people turn to ideas of the world rather than to the truth of the Word of God. It's because we've let our tools, we're not focused on the spiritual aspect of service. We're doing all this stuff in human effort, and we've got to do something to make it work. We've got to get more people in. We've got to see more people saved. We've got to accomplish this, and we've got to do this, and we've got to make this ministry work, and we've got to get this church started, and we've got to get this missionary on the field. And the next thing you know, we're doing it in the power of our own flesh, nothing but human effort, and we start doing foolish things in order to make up the difference between human effort and the acts and spiritual aid of the things of God. Amen? Amen? And so it's when we start tearing stuff up. When you start doing stuff in the power of your own flesh, and you start getting tired and frustrated and fed up and wore out, that's when we start making silly mistakes. That's when we start saying things, well, maybe we should try this in my class. You know, maybe we should start doing this. Maybe we should ease up on that. Maybe we should change that. Because nothing seems to be what? Working. Nothing seems to be working. And so we've got to maintain the edge on our axe. You agree with me there? We've got to maintain the spiritual side of things and constantly watch out for the spiritual side of things so that we don't let anything slip and so that we maintain what we're supposed to be. We can't do anything, as I said, without His help and without the spiritual aspect of things. Now here's the problem. The problem is this. And this is where, to me, this is one of the most fascinating things about this that we need, as far as what we need to be concerned about. And I think we all understand what I've said so far. It's not that difficult. The trouble is that a well-used axe gets dull no matter who's using it or how carefully they use it. And here's what's strange. It gets dull by virtue of use. Do you ever think about that? The more you use an axe, the more it gets dull. And the more you use it, the quicker it tends to get dull. And there's nothing that you can do to prevent an axe from getting dull. If you found that, discovered that, please let me know. If you have figured out a way to sharpen your axe one time and it never get dull again, you need to share that information, because that's important information to know. And the same thing's true spiritually, isn't it? You cannot prevent spiritual dullness in your life from coming. It's a reality of life that it comes. And the more you use an axe, the more likely it is to get dull. So the more often you have to check it. And the more often you have to take time to sharpen it. That should make sense to us. If you're not chopping down any trees, your axe is not going to get dull. If you're not using your axe, if your axe just sits in your shed, it's not going to get dull because it's not working. It's not doing anything. It's not chopping down any trees. It's not making any chips fly. It doesn't matter what church we're talking about or what preacher we're talking about or what church we're talking about. And here's the danger. The more we serve, the more we do for God, the more we serve in the church, the more we tend to dull spiritually. Because it's work. We're involved in the work. Now, if you're a church member who does very little in the church, not involved much in the church, not plugged in much of the church, well, there's not going to be much tension to get dull. I guess we could say you're already dull. I don't know, but you're not going to get dull by virtue of use. But the strange thing about this, and this is the danger of it, that God has given us a work to do. And that has to be done with this fine line of balance between human effort and God's help in our life. God must strengthen our hand. We need His indwelling. We need His leadership. We need His presence. We need His nearness. We need His refreshing. And the strange thing about it is that the harder we serve, the more apt we are to become dull by virtue of use. Why? Because we're working. We're chopping down trees, or trying to, or chopping away at trees. We're trying to make it work. And the easier it is for us under those circumstances to lose our edge when we're making chips fly. We're human, and there's nothing we can do to keep that from being a reality. It's just the reality. The danger is when we're not aware of this truth and that it happens. What I mean by that is we all know that we can become spiritually dull. Anybody not understand that? The trouble is that we oftentimes don't live in daily awareness of it as we serve Him. That we can become spiritually dull. See, what we look around at people who aren't serving. And we say, well, boy, you know, they're not serving. Hey, I'm not spiritually dull. Who are you? We're talking to the Sunday night crowd here. I mean, we're cleaning the building. We're teaching Sunday school. We're involved in junior church. And we're involved in master's club. And, you know, and we're a deacon. And we're a song leader. And we're singing specials. And we're in the choir. And we're working the sound booth. And we take up. Wayne, we're plugged in, man. Why are you talking to us? We're not dull. Don't you understand that we're the ones who are in the most danger of becoming dull? By virtue of use. And it's far easier to lose that edge, like I said, when we're working the hardest. And there's nothing we can do to keep this from being a reality. The danger is when we forget that it's a reality. And what happens is, just like chopping down a tree, as we begin to grow dull in our spiritual life, we begin to exert more human effort. We're still doing everything that we were doing, and we're still doing everything we're supposed to be doing. It's just that now we're out of balance. And we're not as sharp as we should be spiritually, so now we're depending more on the flesh, more on ability. I've been preaching a while. I can get up and just preach if I had to. Amen? Some of you have been Sunday school teacher for a long time. You telling me you couldn't get up and just teach a Sunday school lesson all on your own? Leave God at home? Just get up and teach. Oh, come on, you can do it. I'm not saying you can do it effectively, but you can do it. It won't be any fun for you or them. But you could do it. Because we do it. When we begin to compensate for the dulling of our spiritual life, the dulling of acts, we begin to exert more human effort, we're still doing the same thing. But that's the problem. And the problem is that we're just doing it. See, when we begin to dull spiritually, what we're doing, we're teaching our Sunday school lessons, we're just doing it. We're preaching, but we're just doing it. We're leading singing or being a deacon or working in the sound booth or master's cover, teaching or preaching at the VA home or the nursing home. We're just doing it. You know how much stuff is done around the church by people who are just doing it? And we're just putting forth our human effort and putting forth all the effort we can to get things done. This means that the more, listen, we can keep, let me add this, we can keep that up for a long time. You can run a long time in the Lord's work on human effort. You can run a long time in the Lord's work on brute force. You can teach Sunday school a long time in human effort and in brute force. You can pastor church in human effort and brute force for a long time. But sooner or later, it catches up with you. Say amen. Amen. Sooner or later, you wear out and it catches up. This means that the more we're serving and the more we're doing, the more closely we have to watch our edge. And the more closely we have to maintain our edge. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31 is where Jesus came to the disciples. And he said, there were so many coming and going. They were so busy in the work. He said, we need to come apart for a while. Now, they didn't go on vacation. They came apart to pray, spend time personally with the Lord. Matthew, in the book of Matthew, is where Jesus, because the crowds were so heavy, went up on the mountain to what? Pray. It says he came apart and went up on the mountain to pray. You know what he was doing? Come on, he was doing what? Sharpening his edge. You know what he said to the disciples? We need to stop for just a second, refocus on the spiritual aspect of things, and sharpen our edge. We're so busy feeding the crowd and managing the crowd and managing people, who's going to see Jesus next, what kid gets to come next, that we haven't had time to focus on the spiritual and maintain the spiritual edge. We're out of balance. And so Jesus said, we have to come apart for a while and take care of that. You have to listen, in the Lord's service, the more you're serving him, the more you're actually doing for him. No, you're not a consumer, you're a participant. And the more you're actually serving, the more closely we have to watch our edge. You who are the busiest are the ones who have to watch your edge the most, to maintain your edge. Those are the most involved. Those are the most plugged. Those who are here for visitation, and they're teaching a Sunday school class, and they're in the choir, and they're teaching ABC classes, and they're working in Master's Club, and they're going to the VA home, and they're plugged in, involved in things that matter. They're the ones who have to constantly watch your edge the most. It's not just keeping an eye on what we're doing or how much we're doing, but how sharp our edge is. Very rarely do we step back and ask ourselves, we may step back and say, well, here's how my class is going. How many do we have today? How many do we have at the VA home this week? How many do we have at the nursing home this week? How many do we have Sunday? Who came forward? Who didn't come forward? Did we have any visitors? How'd the lunch go? How was the special? How was my special? How'd the choir sound? How was our offerings? Say amen. How was all that? How often do we step back and say, in the middle of all of this, where am I? Where am I spiritually in the midst of all of this? Hey, we're getting along great. Offerings are great. God's blessing our church. Money's coming in. Everything's paid for. Debt free. All we've done, all this stuff. Missions is way up. But you can do every bit of that, Brother Nelson, and brute force in the effort of the flesh. You know what it takes to have your missions as good as ours is? People are willing to write a check. But we rarely step back and come apart and say, where am I at this moment spiritually? It's great that our church is doing A, but where am I spiritually? And the problem is, we do all this stuff and never stop to maintain our tools. And you know the thing I found about Acts is, when you're chopping wood, it just doesn't instantly become dull. You know, you don't take a swing with an axe and it's sharp, and the next swing, it's completely dull. Doesn't work that way. It becomes dull over our great enemy, what? Time. Becomes dull. You have to constantly watch out. And the busier you are, the more this is true. We have to constantly watch out for how do you know if your axe is getting dull? You have to constantly watch out for the signs of increased human effort. You say, well, what are the signs of increased human effort? Well, that may help you out. They're fatigue. Fatigue. Seems like, you know, I'm just so tired. You know, things are going to church, but I'm just so tired and teaching my class. I'm just tired. You know what that is? That's increased human effort. The duller your acts, the harder you have to what? Harder you have to work. Apathy. is a sign of increased human effort. Sloppiness. You want to know where you are spiritually, Sunday school teacher? How much effort and work are you putting into the preparation of your Sunday school lesson? How much time did you spend praying for the kids you're about to teach? Sloppiness in the work. It's a sign of increased human effort. Because we've become dependent not upon God's help and preparation, but upon what I can do. Lack of enjoyment. Do you enjoy teaching a class? Are you really enjoying being involved in Master's Club? Are you enjoying being here? Are you enjoying the fellowship? I mean, are you really enjoying what you're plugged in and doing? Or has it become a burden? Has it become work? Has it become effort? The signs of increased human effort. Are you failure to prepare is a sign of increased human effort. Failure to get ready to preach, or failure to get ready for institute, or failure to get ready for Sunday school lesson, or failure to get ready to sing a special. If you're going to sing, practice. That's preparation. Failure to prepare. There's no enjoyment in preparing. If you're a Sunday school teacher, there should be some enjoyment in preparing to teach your class. Going to something that's true. It shouldn't be, oh man, I got to get my Sunday school lesson ready. You know what that is? That's a sign of increased human effort. That ought to be, man, I got to get something from God because I got to stand in front of these people this week. Signs of increased human effort, aware of how much I'm doing, awareness of what all I got to do, awareness of what other people aren't doing. Signs of increased human effort are the good enough mentality. Building's clean, it's good enough. Well, should we clean this or that? It's good enough. Failing to fulfill responsibilities and obligations. Inability or irritability with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Feeling used and unappreciated. Becoming tired of what I'm doing. I'm just tired of teaching this class. I'm just tired of it. Maybe I should give it up because I'm just, you know, I just tired of it. Just tired of doing it, tired of preparing a week. Things beginning to slip. Things not getting done. I didn't even know I had snow removal. I didn't even know I had this. I didn't even know I had that. You know what all that is? It's a sign of fatigue that comes from human effort. We've lost our edge. You with me? And those are just the symptoms of what's wrong, not the problem. Those who swing the axe the most, like I said, are the ones that have to watch all of this the closest. The problem is that those who are swinging the axe the most, are the ones who are most susceptible to dulling because they're working the most. But the problem is that we are also the ones who sometimes are the worst at maintaining our edge. We're the worst at watching our own spiritual life. You know, when I don't burn wood now, but I used to burn wood. And when I cut wood, when I was burning wood and was cutting wood all the time, I could enjoy it if it wasn't for the 500 other things I had to do. I was fatigued in the work. If there wasn't 500 other things I had to do, I didn't mind cutting wood. I kind of enjoyed it. And I wasn't this fat then either when I was cutting wood. But when I cut wood for heat, I'd be cutting away. I mean, you know, you're out there cutting wood, you're in a rhythm, trees are falling, you know, and things are going well, and you're cutting wood. And I'd slowly start to notice that my axe was getting dull, or my chainsaw. I didn't chop down trees on an axe, but my chainsaw was getting dull. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't beat it over a rock or run it through a nail. I didn't do anything wrong. I was just using it. I was just working. And it just got dull by virtue of the work. And it just got dull on its own. Now, a lot of times, the trouble was that I was so busy doing what I was doing that I didn't want to take time to step back and sharpen my edge. Right. Come on, you never been out in the woods sawing down trees with a chainsaw, cutting firewood, and your saw's getting dull and you don't want to stop and sharpen it? Oh, come on, you ever been that way? Oh, come on, you know, when you're starting to burn through trees, you know, you're afraid you're going to set the forest on fire because you're burning through them rather than cutting through them. Oh, come on, don't lie to me. Say amen if you've done that. There's not a man in this room who hadn't cut a tree with a dull chainsaw because he didn't want to stop and sharpen the thing. And what I would find is I would think, here would be my mentality. I don't have time. Oh, come on. I don't have time to sharpen this thing. I got to get these trees down. I got stuff to do. That's Solomon's whole point. You're either going to spend time maintaining your tools or for more time trying to cut a tree with a dull axe. And the same thing's true when it comes to us spiritually. Many times what happens, you know, and it, going back to the tree thing, it didn't take me long to figure out that if I would just stop for a few minutes and step back and sharpen my chainsaw or sharpen my axe, I could get far more done. And listen to me, it was far more enjoyable. Because it wasn't wearing me out. It's not difficult to make the spiritual application of that. When you and I get busy in the Lord's work, and we fail to step back and take care of our spiritual life and the tools that God has given us. And a lot of times it's because we don't have time. We're just so busy. I got to get this lesson done, and I got to get over here to do this, and I've got to get over here to do that, and I've got this to do, and I got that to do, and the kids need to do this, and we got schoolwork to do, and we got that to do, and I don't have time. And isn't it amazing how it's always the maintenance of our spiritual tools that always seem to get shoved aside? And then we can't figure out why we're so irritable and frustrated and tired and wore out, and why it's not fun anymore, why we're not enjoying it anymore. As long as I've been in the ministry, I've heard this saying, it's better to wear out than to rust out. You ever heard that saying? I've always heard that in my entire ministry. Better to wear out than to rust out. Can I help you out with that? Both are wrong. Both of them are wrong. I don't want to rust out, meaning I'm not being used. But something's wrong if I've wore out. Both are wrong because it's better to keep a close eye on your walk with God. It's better to keep a close eye on where you are spiritually. It's better to maintain that balance between human effort and the spiritual tools that God has given us and not do either. Wear out or rust out. I grew up in the ministry under the generation who many of them had the attitude that it was noble to wear out for God. I've heard men say in the past generation under which I grew, I just want to wear out for Jesus. Can I help you out tonight? That's not right. Something's wrong if I wear out for the Lord. Now, if you mean you just want to keep going till you're dead one of these days, I don't guess there's anything wrong with that. But the idea is there's something wrong when I'm wearing out. I should be enjoying it. Amen. Yes. I should love serving. I'm not saying we don't get tired. If you're serving God, you're going to get tired. But there's a difference between being tired and worn out. Mm-hmm. You're not going to serve God actively and not get tired. Because you got to work. You got to teach school. And you got to go to work on your job. You got to support your family. And then you got to come in the services and show up for visitation and teach your class and go to the VA and go to the nursing home and do all the rest of that and help clean bathrooms and mow grass. You're going to get tired. But something's wrong when we get tired in the work. You with me? Or of the work. I don't want to rust out, but I don't want to wear out. I guess if you're going to wear yourself out for something in life, God would probably be the best thing to do it for. But I don't think God wants us to wear ourselves out. Do you? I think God wants us to maintain our edge so that we can be effective in serving Him and not get sick and tired of His work. And not get frustrated with each other. Not get frustrated in the work. And not get so tired that we start trying to make up the difference with other things. Let me help you out. This often, not might it sometimes, but often, it doesn't mean doing less. Because the first thing we think of when we get this way is we start thinking, well, I got to cut back. I probably ought to give up my class. I probably need to stop going to visitation. I just can't do it all. I just got to cut back. Now, I'm not saying that we can't overload ourselves, but most people are not in the danger of overloading themselves. Most of the time when we start thinking, I just need to cut back, you know what the problem is? It's not what we're doing. It's what we're not doing. We're not maintaining our spiritual edge the way we should. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. This is that wisdom that he talks about when he says in verse 10, if the iron be blunt, and he do not wet the edge, then he must put more effort to it. But wisdom is profitable. He says, it's wise to pay attention to the edge. And what he's saying is, it's smart to sharpen your axe. When you see it's becoming dull, when you realize, you know what? That tree, man, took a lot more out of me than the tree before. My axe must be getting dull. I should stop and sharpen it. Doesn't that take a tremendous amount of genius? And the point of all this, the application of it is, that if you're sitting here tonight and you're teaching a class and you find yourself now, you seem like you're just more tired than you've always been and you're just not as excited about it, it just seems to be more work and you're letting your preparation slip and you're not, not as plugged in as you should. I'm not saying you've stopped doing anything or you've fallen off into sin or you're doomed spiritually. I'm just saying that it's not enjoyable anymore and it just seems like it's become work. It's not necessarily that we should do less. The problem could be what we're not doing. And the one thing we never step back and go, our first instinct is always, I got to do less. Very rarely do we ever step back and say, you know what, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one who's dull. Amen? Maybe I've gotten out of balance. If you're going to teach a Sunday school class, for example, take some human effort. It takes work to study. Believe me, I do a little of it. It takes work to study. It takes a little work to get three messages together a week. It takes work to get a Sunday school lesson together every week to the same group of kids week after week after week after week. It takes effort to figure out, what am I going to teach? Study, prepare, do an outline, get it all ready. It takes work. Everything takes work. But when that starts becoming work, does that make sense? Why is it we ever step back and say, you know what, maybe I'm out of balance. Maybe I'm the one doing this. I can tell when I'm out of balance because I'm sitting there going, I don't know what I'm going to preach. I don't know what in the world to preach. I don't know. And sometimes God, for some, I think because he has a sense of humor, he makes you wait until the very last minute just so he reminds you who's in charge. But I can tell the difference between that and when I've got to step back and say, you know what? I know why I can't figure this out. It's me. I've gotten so caught up in what I'm doing, so busy with the whole concept of I need to get ready, I need to get ready, I need to get ready. It dawns on me, you know what? I haven't spent much time in prayer about this thing. Because when you're preaching three times a week, it's awfully easy to get so plugged in and so focused on outlines and preaching. Because I know you think I'm so smart, it just rolls out of me. But it doesn't work that way, believe me. I'm not that smart, even close. So it takes a lot of work. Just like it takes a lot of work, anything you do. And I can tell when my edge is dull. Because, man, it's like pulling teeth to get it done. Amen? Amen. And next thing I realize, I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, I got to go in and get this message written. And about that time, the Holy Spirit goes, what are you saying? Amen? Amen. Just like when you're going, oh, I got to get home, get this Sunday school lesson done. It's 10 o'clock Saturday night. I got to get my Sunday school lesson done. Amen? And then, with great spiritual input, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, we hear from God and get it all written and all done out and prayed out and thought out. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily what we're doing that's the problem. It is what we're not doing. And the trouble is that often what we're not doing is maintaining our spiritual edge. So what's the answer? Well, it's obvious. Watch your edge. Take time to step back and sharpen it constantly. One of the hardest lessons in the flesh to learn, preaching and teaching probably as well, is that time in prayer and sharpening my tools and staying in contact with God and reading my Bible is not wasted time. You never find yourself thinking, man, I don't have my Bible reading done yet, and I haven't prayed as much as I should, but I got to get this message written. We act as if that time is somehow lost time. You realize it's not lost time, it's effective time. We've got to watch that edge and maintain our edge. How do you sharpen your edge? How do you maintain your edge? Come on, you already know. Same stuff we preach all the time. You got to spend time in the Word of God. What's Hebrews 4 say? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. How do you stay sharp? Let this book sharpen you up. You got to spend time in it. And when you start getting too busy serving God to spend time in this book, you are out of balance. You got to spend time with the Lord. Remember Jesus' offer in Matthew 11? If you're wore out, heavy laden, worn out, come to me. And I will give you what?
Rest.
When you find yourself tired and work, you know what we need to do? We need to crawl up in the arms of our Savior and spend some time with Him. And just confess, God, I'm out of balance here. And your work has become a burden, and I don't want that to be that way. And I realize I need time with Him. Amen? You know, there's sometimes I just need to put my Sunday school lesson away, and get down on my knees, and spend time with the Savior. There's times when I need to put my hope lesson away and just get on my knees and spend time with the Savior. My VA sermon, my whatever message, my whatever lesson, whatever I'm doing, I just need to put it away and just spend some time with God. There's times when I think, man, I got to go clean the building. I ought to just stop and say, God, forgive me. Get on my knees and say, God, forgive me. Help me do my best for you. I just want to serve you. Because what I'm saying is evidence I've lost my edge. We need to spend some time in prayer. Remember what Nehemiah prayed in Nehemiah 6, verse 9, where we read, Lord, strengthen my hands. Help me do this. I'm doing it in the power of my flesh, and that's why I'm so frustrated and so tired. That's why I've noticed that I'm the only one doing this, and nobody else is doing that. That's why I've noticed it, because I'm wore out and frustrated. I think we need godly fellowship. I read somewhere in some book someplace that iron sharpeneth iron, that the countenance of a friend helps sharpen us. We need church and fellowship. Help maintain our edge. You know the things, don't you? We all do tonight on a Sunday night, things we need to do to maintain our edge. It's not that we don't, the trouble is not that we don't know how to keep it sharp. The trouble is that those of us who are the busiest are often the worst at not paying attention to our edge until one day we wake up and we realize, I'm tired. I'm frustrated and I'm wore out and I'm thinking about maybe I should give up my class and maybe I should do this, and maybe I should just stop that. And we find ourselves weary in well-doing. Amen?
Amen?
One of the things I want us as a church this year to focus on, and this is not our theme, though it's very closely related. One of the things I want us to focus on this year as a church is not so much doing more. It's not so much finding something else as a church to do. I really want to focus this year on sharpening our edge and maintaining our edge. Because we're doing a lot. I'm not sure we're doing it all effectively, but we're doing a lot. And sometimes I think as a church we need to step back and say, as a church, man, we need to sharpen our edge and let God do the work. Amen?
Amen?
For that to happen, as you well know, that means we as individuals have got to examine our edge. Because the only edge a church has is the edge that you and I have.
Right.
Come on, say amen. It's the only edge we have because our edge is the edge made up of all of us. Let me ask you this tonight as we think about this. We need to take some time to learn, to watch our edge, and watch out for the signs of increased human effort, and to realize that time with God is not wasted time. If you don't have time to sharpen your edge, you're in trouble. Amen? You might find it far more effective at times just to put it away and say, I got to get along with God. That's all there is to it. I got to hear from Him. I've got to have His help. Let me ask you tonight, as we sit here this evening, how sharp are you? Listen, I'm not asking you, what are you doing? I'm not asking you if you're here every time we have the doors open. I'm not asking you how separated you are. I'm not asking you how godly you're trying to raise your kids. I'm not asking you how your dress is. I'm asking you, how sharp are you? How close are you to the Savior? How in balance are you with Him? Those of you who are preachers, how sharp are you tonight? When you get up to preach and I'm gone or have one of you preach, how sharp are you? Guys who do devotions in men's prayer, here's a question for you men. Are you sharp enough to show up for men's prayer? How sharp are you? Those who do devotions in men's prayer, is it something you come into and say, man, I need God's help. I got to get up and speak to these men today. Those are your deacons and officers in the church, Sunday school teachers. How sharp are you tonight? I mean, when you're teaching your class, are you getting something from God to give to those people? Or has it come nothing more than a routine? And the longer you've been teaching your class, the more you got to watch out for this. Are you just putting in your time, throwing a lesson together? Has this thought ever crossed your mind? Well, they're not very old. They won't understand. If you've ever been around kids, you know they understand a lot more than we think. They're just teenagers. They're just adults. They don't ever get it. Church members, how sharp are you tonight? Dad, mom, teenagers? Where are you at spiritually this evening? Singles, couples? Man, we need to be sharp spiritually. I don't want to just work. I don't want to just be satisfied with the fact we're doing a bunch of stuff. I want us to do it effectively. I don't care what it produces as long as we do it effectively. Amen? And the only way we can do it effectively is when we have Sunday school teachers and officers and workers and church members who are maintaining their edge. Where are you tonight? How's your edge? How are you in the Lord? How close are you? Are you in fellowship? You sense His presence in your life? That's where we got to start. Amen? Maintaining our edge. And the more you work, the closer you got to watch. Why don't you stand with me if you wouldn't?